Welcome to the sixth sermon in our sermon series entitled Deep Trust, Choosing to Trust God in Defining Moments. Today's sermon title, The Faith to Surrender. Open your Bible to Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19, and let's begin.
And go ahead and be seated and bow your heads in prayer with me. Father, you are mighty and you are good. Father, I'm grateful this morning to just see your hand in my own life and your hand in my brother's and sister's life. Lord, you have been good to us, and I pray we could remember that, we could acknowledge that, we could give you glory for that this morning. Father, I pray that today we could just trust in your goodness in a more powerful way. I pray, God, we would be people that you could ask whatever, you could call us to wherever, and we would follow you. Because our trust in who you are and in your heart runs deep. Give us that blessing. Help us to see your goodness in the face of Christ this morning. Help us to see all your glory in the face of Christ. In his good name we pray, amen. Church, it's good to be with you this morning. I missed you. It's good to see your beautiful faces and to worship with you. I want to thank you so much for just your love and your constant support. I was thinking about this, you know, a lot of churches don't have to deal with their pastor being gone 8 to 10 weeks out of the year, you know, doing army stuff or whatever, but you have to deal with it. But we're better for it, I believe. That's what I hope, at least. And we don't have a choice, so it is what it is. But I want to thank our staff, thank our volunteers. You guys just continue to carry on and do the work of God and serve people and love people and just grateful for you. Really glad to be with you. Glad to be home. There's no place feels like home, and this is our home, and it's awesome. So I'm excited. Next week is Easter. If you didn't know, Easter is going to be amazing. Remember, we have Good Friday on Friday, 6:30. We're gonna remember what Christ did for us. And then Easter morning, we're adding a service, 7:30. Anybody coming to the 7:30? All right. Four of us will be there. Praise. We'll go forward. The Lord can save by many or by few. It's going to be good. We're going to see how that goes. You'll get a donut out of the deal. So it won't be a loss. And Easter, that is the highlight of our faith. And make sure to invite someone and see what God will do. You never know what God will do through an invitation. Easter's the perfect time to do that. So pray about it. Invite someone. Say, hey, come with me. Give God a chance. Give church a chance. You know, these people aren't those weirdos that you think they are. At least some of the time. You won't regret it. Well, today we're going to continue our story of Abraham. We're going to look at a tough text today. But I feel from you a spiritual resilience this morning. You're ready for something tough, aren't you? Or am I misreading this room? I don't know. I feel an energy from you. And we're gonna look at this text together. And it's going to challenge us, but I think in all the right ways, as we continue looking to see what it means to live a life of deep trust with God. So you ready for it? Amen. All right, we're going to get rolling. Thanks, Dave. Give Dave a round of applause. Everything sounds so much better when there's a keyboard behind it. It just, I don't have to worry about content as long as there's keyboards. You're like, wow, that was powerful. It wasn't, but it sounded that way. Well, when I was down these last couple weeks at Fort Jackson, you'll be proud of me. I made a friend. Yeah, thank you. It's a big deal for me. I can be a little shy and a little awkward. So every friend is a small victory in my life. This friend, her name's Carmen, and she was going through the same training that I was, and she was telling me her life story. This was a chaplain specific training. So, you know, just kind of saying, hey, how'd you get to this point? Give me the rundown. I always like to hear that. And she told me that she had been in the army for a long time. Her husband was in the army. He was a pilot and she was a respiratory therapist. So pretty unique roles within the Army, and they had been stationed in Hawaii. The Army's not all bad, church. It's mostly bad. But you can still get Hawaii out of the deal if you play your cards right. And they'd been there a long time. And she said, because they're unique careers, they don't get moved very much. So she said her and her husband were on a path to finish out their service in Hawaii and then retire. And that's where, you know, life had been. And I was like, man, that's not a bad gig. She said, but that all changed. And she said, the last year or so, I've felt this calling from God to serve as a chaplain, to be a missionary in the military. That's basically what a chaplain is, and to serve soldiers and their families. And she said, at first, I was like, God, you can't be calling me to do that. Because she said, I've never seen a female chaplain. They don't exist. And they actually do exist, yeah. And she said, God kind of whispered to her heart, said, yeah, I want more of them there. That's why I want you to do this. And so she kind of took those steps to go out to the process of becoming this. And she had to move from Hawaii to Lynchburg, Virginia. And she's telling me this story. I'm thinking, Lord, why would you do this to her? Why? Why would you ask her to move from Hawaii to I've never been to Lynchburg, but Lynchburg? I mean, isn't lynching another word for hanging people? You're going from paradise to let's hang everyone, Berg, Virginia? That's a no-go in my mind. And as she was telling me this, I just kind of couldn't help but feeling bad for her the whole time and thinking, maybe you misheard God on this. I don't know. Like, let's spend a moment in prayer right now and get this all clear. But she didn't have a sense of regret at all. And she didn't have a sense of loss as she was telling me this. In fact, she more had a sense of like, isn't it amazing that God would give me this privilege to serve him in this kind of way? Outside, man, that is amazing. But Hawaii is pretty amazing too. No, I didn't. Just kidding. I'm sorry. And it was amazing to see just her willingness to follow God, even when, at least from my perspective, it seemed costly. And I want to talk to you about moments in our life where following God looks costly. At least it looks on the surface costly. And it might look costly to other people. You know, maybe you've heard people say, hey, don't sacrifice your future for this. But I want to tell you this morning that sometimes following God looks like we're sacrificing our future. We're not actually doing it, but it looks like that. And sometimes to follow God, we have to step into those moments where it feels like our future and what we thought life was going to turn out to be and what we hope to happen, we actually have to put on the altar so God's purpose can continue in our lives. You with me on this, church? And so I want to talk about how to do that and what that looks like. And we're going to look at Abraham, Genesis chapter 22. We've been following his life story. We're going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read you this whole story up front. It is a powerful, powerful story, but it's going to make you uncomfortable. This story always makes me uncomfortable, but I want you to just lean into the tension of this. You good with that? Just lean into the tension of this story, and we're going to learn something powerful about what it means to trust God. So here's how it goes. Remember, Abraham had been given this incredible gift. He'd been given his long-awaited son. Remember that, Isaac? And he'd been waiting for decades for this. And God had promised him, Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll do something amazing in the world through you. And Abraham said, that's all well and good, but I don't have any descendants. I don't have any family. And God said, I'll take care of that. We saw God did. And so he finally got Isaac. Man, his pride, his joy, what he'd been hoping for and waiting for. And then we get to this. Here's what happened. After these things, God tested Abraham. God tested. So we're getting the context. This is something unique. This is something exceptional that's going to happen here. This is not something that we are going to experience on this side of Abraham's story, but this is something for us to understand and to learn from. God tested Abraham, and he said, Abraham, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. This is crazy. I told you, it's uncomfortable. I wasn't lying. Offer him as a sacrifice. The son of the promise, the son you've been waiting for, the son you've been hoping for, the son you've been trusting me for. You're going to now take him and put him on the altar. This is crazy. But let's stay with me. On the mountains which I shall tell you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. So they got the supplies and they began this journey. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father, he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac said, I know how this works. I see we got the wood, we got the fire, we got the knife, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? What's going on here? I think we're kind of missing the key ingredient. Here's what Abraham said. And this is the entire point of this passage. God will provide. Say that with me. God will provide. God will provide. A more literal translation is that God will see to it. God will take care of it. God sees, he knows, and he's got it. That's what that phrase means. God will provide. So they went, both of them. They came to the place which God had told them. Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. So he's getting him ready to sacrifice. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. And I just can't imagine the insanity of this moment. But then thank God. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do him any harm. And if you've never heard this story, now you can sigh a little relief here. He doesn't sacrifice him. God stops him. For I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of the Lord of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And the angel says, now God is going to bless you for your obedience. Now this is a heavy story, but I want you to just be open to the truth and the power behind it. And listen, God, this is the only time God ever put someone in this type of scenario in the scripture. It was an exceptional moment. Sometimes you look back at the people in scripture and you're like, man, it would be kind of cool to like walk with God during that time. But I would say, no, it wouldn't. Because then you would be the people in these stories where God would never ask you to do that. Never, ever, ever. This is just a one-time teaching moment that these people had to bear the burden for the rest of us of going through these times. But God in this moment is teaching something that we desperately need to know and understand about our lives with him. And there's three aspects that I want to share with you today. I want to talk about this test because that's how the whole story opens. God tested Abraham. Then we're going to talk about trust. What Abraham did, how he trusted God in this moment. And then we're going to talk about this powerful truth that this whole story points to. So the test, the trust, the truth. The test, the trust, the truth. Those all start with T's. So they got to be good. Because alliteration is awesome. The test, the trust, the truth. Let's talk about this one first, the test. Now, as soon as you hear the word test, if you're like me, it brings up all kinds of negative connotations, Was anyone an anxious test taker in school? You got freaked out. You got sweaty palms. Did I study enough? You know, you felt that way. I had the opposite problem. I was a non-anxious test taker. I was so non-anxious, I wouldn't study. And then it wouldn't go well for me, church. So, you know, pick your poison. Both sides of the spectrum are bad. And when we hear that word test, for most of us, it probably isn't a positive connotation. But when we understand test in the biblical sense, it's not this negative thing. It's not God being overly cruel to say, well, let's see what grade you're going to get. Let's see, is Abraham an A student or is he a C student? Here's the deal. God already knows how you're going to respond to any possible situation. He doesn't need to see what you do. He knows already. You with me on this? Like, your teacher doesn't know. Did you study your vocab words? Well, let me give him a test and see. No, he didn't. He got a D. Bad student. They need to know. God knows already. So the test isn't for God's benefit. Tests are for our benefit. The biblical sense of test is that what God is doing is he's calling out of us, because that's what a test is really meant to do. It's meant to raise you to a higher level. It's meant to pull something out of you that needs to become part of who you are so you can be prepared for the future in a more meaningful way. And this is a kind of test. This is not God being cruel to Abraham. This is God actually bringing out something necessary in him. And in our life, when we experience a test, it's not God trying to answer questions he already knows. It's God trying to develop something within us that is very necessary and very holy and very good. You with me on this? And that's what a test is. Now, these tests are so incredibly important. And they're so incredibly important in moments like this, because I want you to think about Abraham's life at this time. Everything he ever wanted, he now has. This is a good time in Abraham's life. Isaac is there, the son of the promise. What he's been waiting for, what he's been looking forward to, what he's been trusting God for. And these are the moments that are actually the most dangerous moments in our lives spiritually. When God has blessed us with all that we hope for. Those are the most dangerous times. People think it's the bad times. And I've told you before, it's not the bad times. Because the bad times, you and I are desperate and hungry for God. And the bad times, when life is a mess, we're saying to God, God, come in and fix this mess. I'll do whatever you want. Lead me, show me, guide me, help me. Just do something. But when God blesses you and gives you what you want, you and I tend to become less hospitable to God. And we say, God, I like how my life is right now. Don't ask me to move to Lynchburg. I like Hawaii. Hawaii's good. I'm not moving to Virginia. I like how things are. And we tend to have a resistance to opening our life and saying, God, these gifts and these blessings are from you. Use them however you want. Disrupt them however you want. I love them. I'm thankful for them. But ultimately, I'm holding them with an open hand. You with me on this, church? The test helps us to hold the blessings of God in our hands without worshiping the blessings instead of the blesser. The blessings of God are meant to point us beyond themselves to the goodness of God. But if we're not careful, we'll start worshiping the blessings and not the blesser. You with me on this, church? And the test helps us to remember. It all goes to the altar. It's all for God. It's all from God. It's all to God. You with me on this, church? It's been amazing being a new parent. I'm learning a lot. One thing I'm really appreciative for is moms. Yeah. Did you all forget how to Southern amen? That was weak. I'm sorry that I failed you. I'm gone a month and it goes out the window. They always know if dads had to raise kids, human species is gone tomorrow, right? I mean, man, thank God for moms. I'm getting off point here, but I'm learning a lot about myself. And anybody struggle with road rage? It's a safe place, safe place. You love Jesus until you get in a traffic jam and then the demons possess you. And it's safe. I struggle with that. I talk to the Lord about it. But I found that I've learned something else that I struggle with that I didn't know. And it's a real thing. It's called stroller rage. Stroller rage. I don't know if you've heard of this or not. But when I was in South Carolina, Allie came down for kind of the last couple days. They do a little graduation thing. And we were able to go to Charleston for a couple hours. It's a cool old city. Walk around. I thought, man, weather's beautiful. Take the baby. Push around in the stroller. It's going to be a great afternoon. And so we were doing that. But as I was pushing around in the stroller, these intense feelings of anger and hate were erupting in my soul. I see you judging me a little bit. And what happened was is that people were constantly in my way. And I thought to myself, do you not know who's in here? Did she not? The princess is coming through. Whatever you're doing, it's not as important. Get out of the way. And then, people weren't paying attention and they were almost stepping into the stroller. It's like, if you step into the stroller, I will kill you. I'm not kidding. I will end you, your life. I'm normally a man of peace, but that stroller rage is a real thing. Allie looked at me at one point. She said, are you having fun? Yeah, babe, I'm having a great time. About to pick up a charge here. It's a real thing, church. You can pray for me. And, because the things that you love, you tend to protect and hold very close. And the things sometimes, the greatest blessings that God gives to us, we even get that way with God. God, you can mess with any part of my life. Don't mess with this. God, you can speak into any part of my life. You can ask me to do anything except this. Get out of the way. Because this is so important to me. And what we do is we end up worshiping that thing instead of God. And it isn't always a good thing. It can be your ego that you worship so much that you push God out of that area. God, you can speak into any part of my life. It's not into that. God, I'll follow you anywhere except here. And that's what the test does. It says, am I willing to see that only when the gifts of God are placed in the hands of God are they actually safe? The altar looks dangerous, but it's safe. Holding Isaac to yourself looks safe, but it's dangerous. You with me on this, church? Only where God is where you need to be. And if it's Lynchburg, then that's where you need to be. Hawaii looks better. But if that's where God is, then that's where we need to go. And the test helps us to see that. Now let's talk about the trust. Now, if you've been following Abraham's story closely, you've seen that there's a progression of trust as he walks with God. Now, he was more ready for this test because he had been walking with God through difficult and uncertain and ambiguous times for a while now. And so this was kind of the culmination of his journey. And when God first called him, if you remember, God said, Abraham, start walking. And when you go and when you leave what's comfortable and when you follow my call, I want you to know I will bless you. I will protect you and I will do something great. And so, in other words, God gave him a lot of affirmation in that moment. He gave him a lot of assurance. Yes, this is hard, but I'm with you. And it was very clear. Now, when God called them to sacrifice Isaac, there's no assurance here. You see that? God didn't say, Abraham, go offer him, but I'm going to stop the sacrifice. And then I'm going to bless you because of your obedience. And this is going to go down as one of the most clear and powerful moments that's going to inspire faith to countless number of people's lives. He didn't get the whole picture on that. You with me? It was just go and do this terrible thing. And that's it. And there's a progression of trust in our lives. I think sometimes this is kind of the first progression. And God's good. He leads us. He grows us into this. There's sometimes God calls you to do something and it makes sense to you. So you're like, yeah, I'm in. Thanks, God. This is great. Like when I was thinking about marrying Allie and praying about it, that plan made a whole lot of sense to me. I didn't need any convincing from God. I think she did, but I didn't. I was like, this makes sense to me. I think I'm getting the better side of the deal. Amen. Let's go. Glory. Hallelujah. And there are times where God's calling makes total sense to you. And that's one level of trust. There's a second level. It's where the plan of God makes some sense to you. And you're like, I don't have all my questions answered, but I could kind of see how God could do something here. I could kind of see how God could direct me in this. And you'll give God the benefit of the doubt and go forward. But then there's these moments where the plan makes no sense to you. You ever been there? Where the plan, where you're like, honestly, Lord, I don't know how good can come out of this. God, I don't know what you're doing. It makes no sense to me. And I believe this is where Abraham was. That makes no sense. That moment makes no sense. That moment does not compute in any way in my mind. In church, there will be times where it doesn't all make sense. But here's what deep trust looks like. My trust is not in what I understand the plan to be, but my trust is in the goodness of God himself. The plan can change. The plan can shift. The plan can make no sense to me. My trust is not in the plan, but the planner. Is not in my understanding of why God would do what he would do or what might come out of it. My trust isn't in those things. My trust is in who I know God to be. And so even when it doesn't make sense, if it's coming from him, then I'm in. That's the kind of trust I want. You with me on this, church? A faith that says, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't have to make sense to me because I trust you. And here's, I think, how we grow in this trust. There's a powerful truth in this passage. Abraham, what drives him is that he says to Isaac, remember that moment, Isaac says, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? We've got everything else, but it seems like we're missing this key ingredient. And God, and Abraham says to Isaac, Isaac, the Lord will provide. There's no lamb, but the Lord will see to the lamb. He'll provide. And Abraham trusted in the goodness of God in that moment. Church, did you know every time we fail God, I believe for most of us, we don't fail God because we're trying to be evil. I'm sure there's some losers out there that are just trying to be evil, horrible people. But I know that's not you. And that's probably not most of the people we hang out with. Maybe some people at work are like that. We can talk about them. No, I'm just kidding. But for most of us, here's why we fail God. We think we've got to see to it ourselves. We think we have to provide for ourselves. And so what we end up doing is we shortcut the process. We shortcut the journey. We think, remember, Abraham did this. God, I'm waiting on a son. You're not coming. So let's get Hagar. Remember that? And I'll make a son with her. What happened there? Was he trying to be evil? No. Was he trying to turn his back on God? No. He didn't trust God would see to it. God would provide. And the moments in your life and my life when we fall away from God is because there's something that's saying, I don't think he'll see to it. So I got to see to it myself. I don't think he'll provide. I don't. I want to believe that. I know he says he will. But I think I have to. And I want you to know, church, there is a powerful, powerful truth in this story. God provided the sacrifice, didn't he? You think it was a coincidence a ram was caught in the thicket? No, it wasn't. And Abraham knew that. That's why he said, you know what? This whole place, it's not Mount Moriah anymore. It's the Lord will provide. Because I've learned something special about this God that I trust. And I want you to know that you have an even greater basis to believe the Lord will provide than Abraham could ever imagine. You have a greater basis. Because I want you to know that this story, many of you probably saw this, there are some striking parallels to the life of Jesus Christ in this story. And that's not on accident. Because I want you to know 2,000 years from this story, God would provide for you and me in a way that is beyond what we even know we needed. And God would actually do what Abraham did. He would lead his son up to Mount Moriah. The book of Chronicles tells us that Jerusalem was built on Mount Moriah. Isn't that interesting? And God would lead his son to Mount Moriah, his only son, whom he loves. And he would lead him where? To sacrifice. And just like Isaac was bound to the wood, God's son would be bound to the wood of a cross. And he would go and the knife would be lifted against him. But here's where it gets different. Jesus would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But no one would interrupt that sacrifice. There was silence in heaven. And the sacrifice went through. And God gave his son, his only son, whom he loved. And he did not withhold him for you or for me. And when God gave his son, what was he doing? He was providing for you. He was providing forgiveness of sins that we all need. We all owe an infinite debt to God we can't pay. Christ paid for us. What did he provide? He provided eternal blessing in your life. You will be blessed, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Because God has provided for you. You don't even know how good he's provided for you. But one day, you will see more clearly. And you will spend eternity giving him thanks. He has provided for you. Your need was so great. My need was so great. We couldn't quantify it. We couldn't know it. We didn't ask for it. But before we ever did, he provided. God said to Abraham, now I know that you fear me, for you gave your son, your only son, whom you love. But you know what? Today, we can say to God, as we look at Christ on the cross, now I know that you love me. I know that you love me. I don't think you do. I know that you love me because you gave your son, your only son, whom you love, for me. You provided that. And church, if he provided that, do you think he's not going to provide everything else? If he gave you that, the thing that you're worried about, do you think you got to see to it yourself? He'll see to it. The thing that feels maybe so hard to give up, Is it really that hard to give up? Because wherever the plan and purpose of God is, the goodness of God is right behind it. Because now you and I, we know, we don't think, we don't theorize, but we know that he loves us because he gave his son for you and for me. And because we know, we can trust him even when it doesn't make sense. We can trust him even when the path doesn't look clear. We can take our greatest fears and our deepest worries and our greatest hope, and we can trust him that he will see to it, because really, he already has. And he will lead us exactly where we need to go. Let's pray. Our great Heavenly Father, that great shepherd of the sheep, Father, we just submit our lives to you this morning. Lord, everything that you've given us, we say thank you, and we bless your holy name. Father, we are grateful for your gifts. We're grateful for your purpose. But most of all, we're grateful for that gift that you gave us in Christ. Thank you for that. God, this morning, I pray we could see your goodness in the face of Christ. Lord, you provided for us, and you will provide again and again and again and again. Our job is not to see to it ourselves. Our job is to follow you wholeheartedly. Help us this morning to have a deeper sense of trust in your goodness and your purpose and your wisdom. And we ask this in the great name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.